So Yaakov Avinu does meet Esav, and as you know, they end up hugging it out. Esav tries to bite his head off, but without getting into too many details. Suffice it to say that Yaakov emerges unscathed. And it all comes to an end on chapter 23, verse 16. Esav says, come with me, we'll go together. Yaakov says, yeah, you start off, I'll be there soon. Don't wait for me. Chapter 33. Vayashav vayahu, Esav returned on that very day, Ladako on his way, Seira, back to Seir. So Rashi tells us, Vayashav vayahu, Esav Ladako, Esav went back on his way on that very day. The scripture doesn't mention Esav levadai. The scripture only mentions here Esav. Well, what happened to the 400 men? What happened to his detail of ISIS fighters? Va'arba meis ish shaholcha imay, the 400 men that went with him. Maybe they came to Canada. I don't know. They disappeared. They peeled off. They nishmatu me'etzlai. They quietly peeled off. And they abandoned him. Echad, echad, one at a time. They were really impressed with Yaakov, the Medrash tells us. And they kind of felt bad about this whole thing. So they just slowly but surely marched into the darkness. Now, Rashi says something which is very unusual here. He says, V'heichan parah lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that God does not withhold reward from anybody. Where does God reward them for having abandoned Esav and left Yaakov alone? So Rashi says, "Be made David in the days of David HaMelech." Shenemar, it is said that David smote from dawn until dusk, and nobody escaped. Kiim arba meyesish, except for 400 men, nar asher rochvay alagmalim, these strapping young lads who had rode the camels. So it seems. It obviously cannot be, it can't be the same 400 people, especially because it calls them lads, and these people are alive at the time of Esav, and they're not children then already, because they're wielding weapons. What does this mean? So it seems that maybe these 400 men were from Esav's genre, like kind of his crowd, and Hashem repays that later on when there's a battle against the seed of Esav, so God repays the seed of Esav in that exactly 400 men survived. There's a fellow in Jerusalem, a convert, whose background is German. He was born in Germany, and he converted to Judaism. And eventually he found out that his father had been an SS officer during the war. And he has three little children. And the story goes that he went to see his father with his three Jewish children, with little payas like... And his father told him the story of one of the ghettos. I think it was the Ludge ghetto, the ghetto liquidation. And he said he saw three children running, and he was about to shoot them. And for some reason, he said, "That's like, let them run." And I can't know what really is or isn't. But the story goes, is that this Ger Tzedek from Jerusalem says to his father, "Gee, I wonder if you would have let four kids survive if I would have four children today." That's how the story's written up. In other words, it's not the same people necessarily, but it's the same nation. And here, the fact that there's this stunning corollary between 400 people who happen to escape for the battle that David HaMelech smites and destroys Esav's seed, and just exactly 400 people escape, that there's got to be a corollary between 400 people that left with peeled off from Esav and left Yaakov alone, and the 400 people who survived from that battle later and escaped the hammer of David HaMelech. Anyway, that's what Rashi tells us. And in this way, he's quoting the Bereishis Rabbah, but basically Rashi fills in Pshuta Shal Mikra, he's answered the question as to, okay, so Esav went home, but Esav was coming with a crowd. How come he went home alone? We don't really answer it. Now you understand what happened. And it also gives us a little bit of a, like a grasp of who Yaakov was, and how once these people met Yaakov and saw Yaakov, how he had the ability to influence them And they were kind of almost like inspired by him. And so what's the name? Once they saw Yaakov was, they were like, what are we doing with Esav? Like, we're going to fight this guy. Esav wants to kill him. Like, the whole thing didn't make sense to them. And they just left. Now, Rashi does not deal with the fact that it says Bayeimahu, because on a literal level, Bayeimahu could mean he left that day. That's it. It was over. The Targum Menasim Ben Aziel, however, which is a lot of Midrashic ideas, not just Pshuta Shel Mikra, like Unkelus, he says that a miracle happened to Yaakov. What was the miracle that happened to Yaakov? That Esav should have this desire to abandon him suddenly and go right back where he came from, because, you know, Esav is coming to kill him. And then Esav suddenly had these good feelings. He said, oh, my brother Yaakov, we should hang out together after we've hugged it out. Yaakov says, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. You could start off and I'll get there. And Esav had this sudden, swift change of heart and all of a sudden disappeared. So the Targum Medrash seems to indicate that that was a miraculous or stunning turnaround. The Medrash Seichel Tev goes even further. There it says that the ground sprang. We heard about this, Kofzalei HaDerech. We heard about this with regard to Eliezer Eved Avram. He left Avram's home, and the same day he arrived 11 days later. So how did that work? Like a wrinkle in the ground. And here it says Esav left, and on the same day he arrived back in Seir. So the Medrash Seichel Tev says Hashem wanted to make sure Esav didn't have any regrets. And knowing people like this, you could leave and say, what did I just do? I'm going to go back again. I'm going to regret that. Why did I agree to that? Here Esav was back home already, and so he just settled into his routine. Esav, by the way, is not so happy. And in the end, he wants to usurp Chevron or Ma'arat HaMachpelah from Yaakov. And he comes at the end of, after Yaakov passes, and he shows up at the funeral, not to pay his respects, but to prevent Yaakov from being buried. But that's a story that we'll deal with in a couple of weeks. Okay, back to Yaakov. So we know where Esav went. The Yaakov nasa sukaisa. Yaakov headed off his sukkot. Vayivin liboyis. He built himself a house. Ule miknehu, and for his livestock, asa sukkos, he made huts. Al kein karashema makemahu sukkos. That's why this place became known as sukkos. Okay, Rashi says, it says he built a home, it says he built a hut. So Rashi says, even like boyis, he built a home. Here the pasuk is telling us that shah sham yud ches chodesh. Yaakov remained or tarried on the way for 18 months. He remained there for kayetz, a summer, a chayref, a winter, and then another whole summer, the kayetz, which each of them is 6 months. And that's why it says that he went to sukkos. Sukkos is huts. When do you live in huts? When do you live in a temporary dwelling? When don't you need a airtight or watertight dwelling? Not airtight, watertight. In the summer. In Israel, it doesn't rain in the summer. That was kayetz. And bayit, a home, where there's a proper roof, that was chayref. And then again, sukkos, it mentions, that's again kayetz again. So this is like a seasonal thing, and it tells us that Yaakov was there for an extended period of time. According to the Targum, the idea of the sukkos, bayis, and sukkos is unique to for whom it was built. The Targum Unkelus says, for himself, he built a home, and for his behemes, he built a sukkah, on which the Rebbe comments, and he says, loi, meaning loi for him, for the things of Yaakov, representing the neshama, representing the inner essence of who Yaakov really was. For this he made a bona bayis. He built a home, in other words, a permanent place. When it came to miknehu, which is symbolic or emblematic of the material things that Yaakov owned, the possessions, so for materiality, also sukkos, that was temporary. So for Yaakov, what was primary was the home that he lived in. What was temporary was the physicality or materiality, that was a temporary thing. His Yiddishkeit, his spirituality, was permanent. That's loy, and that's lemiknehu, as a metaphor for a person. There's the mensch side of the person, and then there's the behemoth side of the person. There's like the animals, like the livestock. There's like the material pursuit. And then there's the higher or loftier, holier perspective, more meaningful perspective of a person's life.
Is the sukkah the same kind of sukkot that they dwelled in the Midbar?
I would say most certainly not, according to one opinion. According to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the sukkah that they dwelt in the Midbar was actually a euphemism for the clouds of glory. However, according to the other opinion, where they built themselves temporary huts, maybe it was temporary shelter. They built some kind of shelter. So I don't know that you could pick it out in a catalog. So, you know, Here you can order the sukkah of the Midbar, here you order the sukkah of Yaakov, but essentially it's a definition of a temporary structure, a little bit of shelter. Okay, so Yaakov heads off to Sukkos, and there he remains for 6 months. For 18 months. And at the end of the 18 months, the Torah now says, the culmination of Yaakov's journey, Yovo Yaakov Sholem, Yaakov came Sholem, Ir Shechem, to the city of Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Canaan, which is in the land of Canaan, Bevoyoy, he's still in the traveling stage from Padan Aram, from Twin Cities, Kurdistan. Vayichan Espnei Ha'ir, he camps at the, so to speak, the mouth or face of the city. There's a very interesting verse with a lot to say about it. First of all, it says, Vayavo Yaakov Sholim. Yaakov came Sholim. After his 18 months in Sukkos, he came Sholim. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Sholim means whole, intact, just like peace. And Sholim means begufay, his health was restored. Shenisrapim mitzil osay, he was fully restored, his health was fully restored from his sciatic event. Sholim b'momoynoi, his wealth had been fully restored. Shalechoser klum mikolaysa derdim, from all of the large gifts he sent to Esav to try and curry his favor, all of that had been replenished. And finally, Shalom b'teirasei, he was whole still in his Torah, Shalish shachach Talmudei, during the course of the 20 years that he had been b'beis Lavan, he had not forgotten the Torah that he had studied. The Torah says he came back home to Eretz Yisrael now. It's back. He's finished his mission. He's done his birurim. He's done, so to speak, the refinement. He's attracted or reeled in the sparks. He's contended with Lavan. He's contended with Esav. And the Torah that he left with is the Torah he returned with. Didn't lose it. Ir Shechem, k'may li'ir. It's as if it would say to the city. V'chamayu, we find this similar in the book of Rus. It says, ad boyana beis lachem. And over there it means, le beis lachem, until we come to Bethlehem. Over there it means, until we come to Beit Lechem. V'voyoy mi padan aram. Now we're mentioning Padan Aram. Padan Aram is last week's parsha. Padan Aram is an old story already. That's 18 months ago. Why are we mentioning Padan Aram? That's after a love and Esav, a love and encounter, and an Esav encounter, and Sukkos, and Boyis. So Rashi says, I'll tell you why. It's like ka'adam emer lechaveri, like a person says to his companion. He says, like in awe, in amazement. He says, "Yotza pleni mibein shini arayus uba shalim." This guy managed to get out of the lions, between the lions' teeth, and he's come home whole. What was the name of those people who used to put their heads into lions until the lion decided to bite one day? Sigmund or something?
Sigmund. Yeah. Oh,
Siegfried Roy. Siegfried Roy. That's what happened, right? They used to like put their head in the lion, and then at one point he decided to close his chompers or something.
I'm not sure. No, I think he swiped at him.
Swiped at him. Something happened. But the point, the reason that it was like a whole attraction, the reason was entertainment, because like, you know, wow, they could go into that situation and come out of the situation. So as if people would say, wow, look at Yaakov. He was in the lion's den. That's where the expression comes. He comes out of the lion's den and he's whole. That expression actually comes from the story of Yaakov, from the biblical description of how our father Jacob returns to Shechem. So it says, Afkan, similarly here, Vayavai Sholem, he comes whole from Padan Aram, and from Lavan, Omi Esav, from dealing with Lavan and Esav, Shinizdavgu, who had tangled with him, Loi Baderech on the way, nonetheless, he came whole. He established himself right in front of the city. Why didn't he go into the city? Rashi tells us, Erev Shabbos Hoya. It was Erev Shabbos, and this is found in a compilation of teachings, Midrashic teachings, called She'iltes, the She'iltes of Rabbi Chai. So, before we go on to analyze this business of Yaakov's safe landing and coming whole, I should tell you that there are other interpretations. According to Ramban, the idea of Yaakov coming whole was he felt finally at ease. He said, I'm finally back in my father's house. I'm finally back in Eretz Yisrael. I'm at ease. But it didn't work that way, because the very next day there was trouble with Dina. But Yaakov, that's how Yaakov felt. So the meaning of Sholem is how he felt. Rashbam says, Sholem? What do you mean? Sholem is not whole. Sholem is a place. He came Sholem. He said the city was called Shalem, and that was the city where Shechem lived, and Hamor was a donkey, I mean, actually a person, a king. He decided to name the city in honor of his son, which helps us understand the story of Dinah also, why everybody did everything for Shechem, because they couldn't get enough of him. And Rabbi Yaakov Mivina, also a Rishon, says something very similar. He says the city was called Shechem, and it was only from this point and onward that the Nasi, the crown prince, had risen to great prominence, and he renamed the city in his honor. And clearly all this went to his head, and that's when he committed his dastardly act of rape, and so on and so forth, as we learned about last night. Okay, so let's analyze this idea of Yaakov coming whole, Yaakov's safe landing, in greater detail. There really is a big question I'm surprised nobody's asking me. Yaakov came healed. How long after the encounter with Esav is this? We just learned, 18 months. So if it's 18 months after the encounter with Esav, what did we learn yesterday? Just 24 hours ago. We learned that Yaakov tangled with the angel. What was the result in the morning? He was limping. And then what happened? Vayizrach loy hashomesh. The sun shone for him. What did Rashi tell us?
A miracle that it healed him.
They healed him. So now first you tell me that the sun healed him. And now you're telling me he was convalescing and 18 months later he was healed. Now he's healed? The masculine David actually is bothered by this. It's a very good question. He says, I don't understand what's going on over here. And he says that we must say Sheshlei Mazu, page Kuflamites, Simin Lamed Beis. He said, we must say Sheshlei Mazu, Lo Yischadsha Bevoyo Yaakov Li'ir Shechem. It cannot be that this only began when Yaakov came to Shechem. 18 months later, oh, now he was healed. Now he was whole. Doesn't make sense to say that. Ella, rather, the Baskel of David says, Ho Yishikayem Es Kedim L'chein. In truth, his health had long been restored. Hashlem is begufay, the health issues, the injury that he sustained. Since Yaakov Avinu's healing from his limp was immediate, as the sun rose, right after the battle, Melchamtei Emsarei, after the wrestling match with the angel, Kishazarach Hashemesh. So that was right away. Hashlem is bememoinai, the intact nature of his residuals that he didn't lose from all of the gifts, and he gave a lot of gifts, but it didn't make a difference, and his residuals were intact. So the Maskal of David says, the whole thing was like a miracle. It looked like Yaakov had a loss, but actually didn't have a loss. In truth, nothing was ever missing. When he was sending these lavish gifts off to Esav, says Maskal of David, a miracle happened, and nothing was lost. And certainly the Torah wasn't lost. They didn't lose the Torah and then find the Torah. In the 70s, there was a billboard campaign by Jews for Jay. They put a big billboards all over the place, and it said, I found it. I found it. What did I find? I found Yashka, the Testament, so on and so forth. So you know there's a Lubavitcher started an organization called Jews for Judaism. He put up a big billboard all across Southern California, and it was, I never lost it. I remember those bumper stickers as a kid, light pale blue bumper stickers. I never lost it. So he never lost it. He never lost his Torah. He didn't gain his Torah back. Who did he learn his Torah from? He never lost it. In other words, the Maskal of David says that this discussion of him arriving at Shechem is actually, nothing really happened over here. The Torah is telling it to you here that he came whole, but actually he was whole from long. It was not the description of a safe landing. And what the Maskal of David says makes a lot of sense. Because we read about the healing immediately. And Maskal David's Mechadash, he brings us this new idea that it was a miracle. He didn't lose any money, even though he gave all those gifts. But the Rebbe says, that doesn't fit with the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Avo pashtos aksuvim kashal lemerkein. In the simple Pasuk, that doesn't seem to resonate. Because of Nemer, vayova yayinkev shalem ir shem. Our passage we just read says we are talking about a safe landing. He came to Shechem. When did Yaakov reach intactness, perfection? When did he feel full restoration? When he came to Shechem. And the pasuk reads, in Shechem, v'lo kedem l'chein. At this point and not before. But then we have all the questions. The reasons that the Maskal of David explained this is because that doesn't seem to add up. Because from what we learned, Yaakov's restoration, his wholeness, wholesomeness, came back before already. So the Rebbe suggests this is the way to learn the Rashi.
Rabbi, just to clarify, Sukkot, when it says Sukkot, that is in Eretz Yisrael.
It is in Eretz Yisrael.
So it wasn't like when he comes to Shechem, this is the first time he's...
Correct, but this is like in the heartland of Eretz Yisrael. Shechem is the heartland, and he's not yet in the heartland. Sukkot is still in the outlying area. Now he's come to the heartland of Israel, and in the heartland of Israel, Sholem. He's holy, he's perfect.
Okay.
So
does that have anything to do with it?
Well, that's actually the point, that when he came to the heartland, that's when he was fully secure, and that's when he felt good about himself. Yeah, but the problem is that the Pasuk seems to say that that's when it happened.
That moment.
Yeah, it's like, we understand what bothers the Maskil of David, but it doesn't go away from the fact that what the Maskil of David is saying is not the intimation of the Pasuk. When you read the verse, that's not what it says. So the Rebbe says, Achein Shleimus Shel Yankiv, it seems reasonable to say that Yaakov's reaching perfection in all these areas, his being intact or whole again, being made whole again, Higia Rak Bichnisase L'Ishchem, when he arrives at Shechem. But what do you mean? He got healed yesterday. He got healed, I mean, in our class yesterday. He got healed 18 months ago. He got healed in the sun rose. So the Rebbe says that you don't have to say that. Listen to how the Rebbe, like, so logical. Hashleim is begufay. What does it mean that he's whole bodily? That he sustained no injury? Shekein refuase lehoisa miyad. The healing wasn't immediate, meaning it wasn't complete immediately. He was healed, and then it took time. It's like when the Rebbe recovered from the heart attack. It was 2 years until he resumed his full normal schedule. And then he took a schedule that would tire a man who was 20, and he ran, when he was 89. But the point is that the idea of Yaakov being healed in a miraculous way means that there was a miraculous moment of healing, a sudden turn in his health. He wasn't limping anymore, but he still had a fallout. There was, his gait wasn't fully restored. But derech hateva, it took a while, it took time, like it always takes time to heal. Is nimshcha b'derech hateva for 18 months. There was an 18-month fallout until he had absolutely no pain and he was fully restored to himself. Hashleimus v'moyne, that he didn't lose any residuals. Mishleach ha'doyren le'esav achin gorem l'chesarim suyim. You cannot say Yaakov sent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals to Esav. It made no difference. What, do you have a billion animals? How did it make no difference? A fact. Like the accountant would come at the end of the year and say, Father Jacob, you're missing a couple of thousand sheep here. So of course it had to cause some kind of loss. So what does it mean there was no chesarim? It means that Yaakov's sheep were prolifically reproducing themselves, that by a year and a half later, everything had been made up. It doesn't mean there was never any loss. That makes no sense. And there's no reason to suggest that it was a miracle, because we don't hear about a miracle like this. If to assume it was a miracle, why assume it was a miracle? Here it's telling you, the shleimus v'moyneh, rakim boyle irshchem, nishlum chesaron zeh. So you could say his flocks were extra prolific. It's not a miracle like splitting of the sea, but things, he had a tremendous mazel. Things went amazingly well. And so the flocks quickly were able to proliferate and reproduce themselves. But when he came to Shechem, that's when it was complete. But this is all with regard to his health and his wealth. Hashleim is b'tei rosoi. However, when we talk about the wholesome or imperfection of Yaakov's Torah, hoisek hayam is b'tamad. That we have to say was always there. Over there, he never lost it. The Torah, we never lost. Lehoisa chesar chesedom elam was never missing. Kedivri Rashi, Shalom B'Teirasi, what does it mean, whole in his Torah? That he found it? No. Shalei Shachach, that he never forgot it. He never forgot Talmud Yubei Slava. And here is the upshot, or beautiful lesson in Avedis Hashem for all of us. Kashi Yehudi Nidresh Lelechas B'Golos. When you need to go out to Golos, you're going on a shlichus, you're going on a mission, Hashem sends you far away from your place of comfort. And the reason you're going there ultimately is Levarer L'Zachich Haselam HaGashmi. It's all about the sparks. That's the reason. I have a job to do. Spiritual perfection, rectification, restoration to effect. Yitochen, it is possible, shetia yiridim esayemes bedargasi. It's possible that there'll be a loss as a result of this mission that you went out on. It's possible. However, ubesefer shel davar, in the end, you don't lose from going on shlichus. On the contrary, everything comes back. Everything gets fixed. Everything is made whole again. And everything comes the way it was before. Elo, but it's, now we take it a step further. Even the Yerida, even the descent of the loss, is only be'inyanav hachitzonim. It's only in the superficial reality. It's only in gufayim emaynai. It's in wealth and health of a yid. Avu pnimius, the yonim apnimim, the inner, the neshama. Toirasai is toira. Leiti Allah yirid the klal. There'll be no loss. No loss whatsoever. And even so that even a short time later, everything else catches up. As long as your Torah remains whole, the health and wealth will catch up too. But the Torah has to remain whole at all times. Regardless of where we go, regardless of what our circumstances, challenges, the situation is, the Torah has to remain whole. And as long as the Torah remains whole, everything else comes in tow. And that's one of the lessons we learn from Yaakov, his journey, and his safe landing.
Thank you.